the idea of telling you something you didn't know, how many companies hold the personal data, is a question that nobody knew before we launched the Mind app. That became something that really, you know, lured people in and got them very curious. Once they are in, they saw that, oh my God, now I can, you know, really take control. I can remove things or services that I'm no longer using, and in turn, really reduce my online exposure, but making it something that is, you know, fun, nicer, and something that I enjoy doing, and not like something that is heavy.
Welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. Just sit back, relax, and learn from the leaders of today. It's a journey. Each one is different, unique, inspiring. Let's get started.
20 Minute Leaders is a proud supporter of Make-A-Wish Israel and Tech to Peace, and is in proud collaboration with Secret Chord Ventures, J Ventures, Riverside FM, Fusion VC, Birthright Excel, J Impact, Leap, Google for Startups, and Hippo, and in media partnership with CTech.
Gal, Kobi, and Gal, welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you so much for joining me, founders of Mind. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having us.
Really, really excited to have you. This is a very special time, not just because you've recently announced a phenomenal Series B in an interesting time in the market and the world, but also because the problem space you're dealing with is one that is so incredibly relevant to today's world, a conversation piece, you know, pretty much at every household now, and one that's only going to continue growing. So I'm particularly curious about, you know, going back to your vision and to where you're seeing data governance and data privacy going, how you're seeing Mind as part of that vision and part of that, the impact on the world. So going to be a lot of really exciting things. Just to kick things off, you know, quickly, Gal Ringel, maybe take us again through, you know, what is Mind, you know, what is this big idea that we're looking at here?
So thank you for having all of us. I think it's exciting. I think it's the first time that the three of us actually sit together to do an interview like that. Usually we're doing that
separately.
So it's very exciting to sit the three of us. And actually today we're celebrating 5 years since the...
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, so it's a long journey, 5 years. We're still together. The three of us, and I think it all started with a big vision around the GDPR. So essentially, each one of us worked in, you know, different places, and back in 2018, the GDPR was an inception that went into reality and legislated in Europe for the first time. The GDPR is the privacy regulations in Europe that basically changed the internet as we know it. It gave citizens, end users, us basically that are using the internet every day, a lot of power around our personal data. So now we can ask questions, we can go to companies, we can tell them, hey, I want to see what data you have about me. I can take action about my data. I can be more in control to some sense. And then companies are now need to be more responsible and accountable for the data they collect and process. So no more collecting data without any purpose. You need to really justify why you need the data and why you want to do with it. So that was basically our kicker when we set together to think what we want to do in our next company. We knew that it has to be around personal data, because the three of us really understand personal data from many different angles. And the GDPR was like enlightening that we wanted to do something about it. And in short, the vision of the company is to take privacy, like back then, was to take privacy regulations and to make them accessible to both sides of the market, so both to end users and companies. And we actually started as a purely consumer offering, allowing you and to date 5 million users to find their data online, learn about what companies have about them and what they can do about it and how that make them exposed in the internet. But then they can also take action. So we designed a journey that you can reduce your online exposure and essentially reach out to any company and ask to remove your data you're no longer using. And today, the vision was revised into the other side, like the company side, where we're basically allowing companies to be compliant with different privacy regulations. We work with legal teams, and essentially, we're automating a lot of the daily activities that they have to do for being compliant. The tagline is we want to be the single source of data truth within the organization. So essentially, today we can come to any organization and map it. We can help them understand what system they have, what data they keep inside, and then to tick the box on all kinds of different privacy and data governance requirements. So this is really short what we did.
Incredible. Very, very cool. So Kobe, take me from the product side, and if you're looking at, you know, the job to be done and what people really want, you know, if I'm going back to, you know, 5 years back, you know, you're focusing on consumers, 5 million to date. How, you know, what is it that people need? What is this product that you're building out that is going to make a positive impact on consumers?
Yeah. So so I think that essentially the main thing that kind of led us was obviously to help users reduce their online exposure. That was like the underlying, you know, what we thought that we had when we came into this discussion. But when you tackle consumers, you need to make this as part of, you need to touch their emotion. You need to make sure that this will not only be something that is kind of, you know, boring and heavy. So the journey became, you know, let us show you all the assets, the services, the accounts that you kind of open online. Let us tell you something about yourself that you didn't know. And then the second piece was about control. Let us allow you to take control and take the, you know, the decision on your own terms, on your own way of how you want your data to be handled on the internet online. And I think that those two combined, like the idea of telling you something you didn't know, how many companies hold the personal data, is a question that nobody knew before we launched the Mind app. That became something that really, you know, lured people in and got them very curious. Once they are in, they saw that, oh my God, now I can, you know, really take control. I can remove things or services that I'm no longer using it. In turn, really reduce my online exposure, but making it something that is, you know, fun, nicer, and something that they enjoy doing and not like something that is heavy. I think that the notion of taking control and getting visibility of, you know, things that I didn't know, this is something that is carried alongside to the B2B as well. When Gal talked about being the single source of data truth. So what we really essentially doing is creating a situation where you have, you know, total understanding of what data is being managed in the organization, who has access to what, telling you things that you didn't know about, you know, shadow IT systems that employees are using and the organization didn't really manage, and so on and so forth. And then on top of that, providing you the controls. How can you control this information, whether it's because you need to do it for compliance, or whether it's because you want to do it because of security, data governance, and so on. But the underlying, you know, structure or line of thinking when dealing with data was essentially the same. Giving you the full visibility and then the control on top of that.
Got it. Okay. And so did you find from the get-go that people really cared about this problem? I mean, I'm looking at the average, you know, the average person around the world, and I'm looking at the, you know, digitization processes over the last decade and where we're headed. What is your experience of people's personal care? And whether it's a concern from the range of concern to excitement when it comes to data and their and the privacy of their data, what have you been experiencing from the product side over these years?
But on the consumer end, I have to say that, you know, even we were surprised by the amount of excitement that was around this topic. And again, I think that the way it was communicated and built, telling you something about yourself that we know at the beginning, that worked. you know, thinking about it in hindsight is kind of what, you know, served us really well. So the journey, the thinking about this is something that has to be fun, has to be, you know, not heavy. We don't want to kind of, you know, intimidate you by telling you how much the internet is, you know, risky. That was not the case. It was always about showing you timeline of what you've done, what you've been up to in the internet, telling you something you didn't know, and the thing, the excitement was the main factor when, you know, that really brought people in into the product.
That makes a lot of sense. So if we're now looking at from a technological perspective, and, you know, where, you know, if we're actually looking at data that's being generated and how from the tech side, companies are evolving, customer data and journeys are evolving in different pipes around the world. You know, everything's getting interconnected. We're expecting things to be more seamless, more automated. I'm expecting that when I go and talk to the next auto insurance company, the amount of information, hopefully the amount of friction or steps that I'll need to take will be less because they'll have more access or they'll be able to engage with more sources. So Golan, how have you been observing the role of data integrations and data movement over the last years, and how is this connected now to what you're doing with Mind?
So data is definitely moving around more than it used to, but both internally in the organization. So I think the best example is a marketing team that gets data from all other departments in order to generate higher quality leads and target the right personas. But also between companies, just as the example that you mentioned. And then I think it's a good thing because inside a company, it enhances collaboration and productivity. And between companies, it can actually benefit consumers. So as you said, reduce friction, for example. But I think there's a line that should not be crossed. And that line is really about, is data sharing serving the consumer and done right with the proper consent and control of choice or not? Or is it just serving one side of the equation? And where the second thing happens is where we come in. So when data is shared without your consent or without serving you any benefit or value, that's where Mind steps in and helps consumers reduce that data and maybe in a way undo that sharing. But when it benefits you and gives you value, that's perfect. It reduces friction, it enhances the experience, it gives you the right recommendations. So we're all in for that. If it's aligned with your choice and your expectations, that's perfect. I think that in the simplest way, how we view that whole in data integration and sharing world.
And by the way, just to share a few,
just
a few interesting statistics on that. On the consumer side, we discovered after 5 million users that the average user has more than 350 companies that hold his personal data. So think about any time when you travel, you purchase a flight ticket, you book like an hotel, you purchase something online. It goes on and on. And the data stays there forever, you know, in some cases. And on the company side, it gets even trickier. We were amazed to know that, you know, after serving hundreds of customers, you know, like Reddit and HelloFresh and FIFA and Fender, these are some of our customers, we learned that, you know, the average company doesn't have, you know, a true idea of what they are dealing with in terms of systems. So typically what we find is the average company of a few hundreds to a few thousand of employees typically have around 1,600 assets. An asset can be anything within their cloud environment or any SaaS application, which is insane. They didn't know about that number. And more importantly, they have no idea what exactly, what types of data they keep within their system. And we are happy that we can help them, you know, discover that and, you know, have that holistic view of understanding what they are dealing with if they want to honor privacy regulations and be more transparent and add more trust around the personal data they collect, they need to know what they are dealing with. And this is something that we're doing very nicely with our customers.
Phenomenal. So second week of October, you're closing the Series B, right? $30 million. Not a trivial amount at all, and of course not in the market conditions. You've announced it December 5th. Tell me a little bit about what does this mean for a company like mine? So you're transitioning, you 4X'd your revenues in 2023. What does this mean about your conviction in the space, about your conviction in your product? How are you as now founders and entrepreneurs thinking about taking this company to the next level?
I'll take the business side. So I think that revenue Series B is all about numbers and all about metrics. It's less about the technology or less about the product itself. Investors want to see that you really built a machine and you really hit product market fit to be exact. And they want to make sure that now when they put dollars into the company can really make $2, $3, $4 out of that money. So there must be a conviction about predictability and about the ability of the company to scale the business. And I think that this is what we were able to really prove over the last 2 years. I must say that we were very disciplined on all the, you know, the burn and all the metrics and, you know, the specific KPIs that we need to achieve. Or as I like to say, we didn't really enjoy the 2021 party. So we were very, you know, very lean, really did a lot with less people comparing to other, you know, Series B companies. And I think that now what we could really prove other than the machine and the hundreds of customers that we have and the ARR is that now the privacy market in 2024 and 2025 is about to really take the front stage. So when we started back in 2018, the bet was that privacy with the GDPR would be copied worldwide and, you know, would be a very hot and important sector. And I think that now we can really see it because in the US, all the privacy regulations are now picking up. So 12 states, and this year there should be like at least 50% more. There is the AI regulations that are also contradict privacy and security. So it becomes very the privacy becomes a very hot junction between a lot of other, you know, industries and a lot of other markets. So we are fortunate to serve all of these markets, and I think that now we have the money to really grow the company across all the departments, and Gal and Kobi can share a little bit about their plans about, you know, the product and the R&D. But I think that now the company is really well positioned to take on the market. We are like I put mine as in the bucket of the privacy 2.0 generation, which is now all about no code and automation, which is really two principles that we're putting a lot of emphasis on because we want to help companies get to ROI faster, to reduce the time that they need to spend in order to implement the product and to have a very plug and play as possible so they can really touch the ROI very fast.
Phenomenal. Kobi, Gal, what is your take on the product and the tech side expansions with the Series B?
So I'll take the next one. I think that from the product standpoint, we were able to introduce, and probably thanks to the fact that we came from the consumer side at the beginning, but we were able to introduce a lot of new technologies, capabilities that otherwise don't really see them with other competitors. That allow us to kind of grow really fast, provide a solution that is very pragmatic to companies and basically cost effective when we compare ourselves to the, you know, to competitors in the space. I think that when we look at it for the next 2 or 3 years now, we see a lot of opportunity that is going beyond the realm of privacy, I would say. towards data governance as a whole. And to name a few examples, if users or companies were really concerned about mapping their data and understanding, you know, how their technological surface kind of look like in the organization in order to, you know, support or in order to address privacy compliance requirements, nowadays they are looking at the same, you know, discoveries, mapping that they have done in order to understand, okay, so what do I do with AI, for example? So you've seen AI getting, you know, in 2023 as something that is growing super fast with OpenAI and other like AI companies. And now you have new regulations, new concerns, new risks. It goes beyond privacy into other territories, but I think that what Mike can do is, you know, to provide the data governance that company really need in order to support any sorts of cases on top of the data of the very big.
Phenomenal. Very, very cool. And Gal?
From the tech side, we are obviously going to expand the team substantially, and in order obviously to meet with the business goals that Gal mentioned before. But what it actually means is that we see a lot of traction from larger and larger companies. And as those larger companies come, they obviously have more complex use cases, more complex tech stacks. They require even more customizations and advanced workflows. So we're going to expand the technology and the platform substantially to cater for all of their needs. But on the same time, it's really important for us to keep the product simple to onboard and simple to use. Having a cost-effective solution that does not require long implementation or development of efforts from the customers, that's a key differentiator we have. We're going to maintain it and even increase it. On the other hand, we're going to expand the technology into even more and more use cases. Something that we've seen in the past year is that with the larger companies, we have many other personas from the customer side interacting with our solutions. So it's not just the privacy or legal team, it's also the IT team that is sometimes tasked with some privacy requirements with their systems, or even the data platform team that's obviously part of this equation. And now with the latest AI regulation, we are going to see researchers and data scientists being pulled into the conversation. So we're going, and they ask us a lot of questions and they come in with a lot of requirements that we're going to expand the platform in order to cater for their needs as well.
Incredible. So obviously it sounds like you're, you know, the mileage that you guys have had with mine over the last 5 years have brought immense conviction, not only in the space, but in the actual product, and obviously investors and customers are backing this. So it's obviously very exciting to see how things are changing and transforming. Personally, big fan of your work, and you're a beacon within our ecosystem here in Israel. So thank you for the inspiration for that. And the product that's so needed during these days, and I can only imagine how much more the need will grow in the very near future. I think that everybody's really picking up on what you've been talking about for the last 5 years. So with that, I wish you best of luck with the journey, and I'm excited to do this again after your Series C and D, and wishing you, you know, an amazing year ahead. Sounds like an incredible plans from the business to the tech to the product. And so thank you again for taking the time to spend with me. I'm really honored.
Thank you.
Thank
it was
you.
A pleasure.
And good luck to you as well.